Good.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the April meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board. We're meeting here in our offices in Springtown as well as online. If you're following online and wish to speak on any topic on the agenda, if you would use the chat function and let Doug know which one, when we get to that, you'll have your opportunity. Roll call, Director Lusk.
Here.
Director Reynolds is absent. Director Watts is absent. Director Nave.
Here.
Director Wilson.
Here.
Director Micah.
Here.
Director Berkeley.
Here.
I'm here. We do have a quorum. For the public's information, our bylaws or our enabling act requires 5 affirmative votes to pass anything. So we have 1 over the minimum on that. Everybody please stand and join me in the pledges of the flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Doug, do we have any public comment requests not relating to an agenda item?
I don't think we have any that are not related to an agenda item.
Okay.
And Tracy, if you would, I would recommend taking item 4 from the regular agenda out of order. It's the item for the rainwater harvesting program.
Okay.
We've got a couple people, at least one, waiting. And I know people online that we've interviewed them today.
And our apologies for people online. We had a technical issue here that caused us to get a couple of minutes late start to the meeting. I'm going to jump, with the board's approval, I'm going to jump to the regular agenda, to item 4, discussion of possible action regarding the district's annual rainwater harvesting grant program, including but not limited to recommendations from the special committee and authorizing the general manager to negotiate and execute contracts on behalf of the district and take necessary action. So, Doug, who's dancing lead on this one?
So I was just going to kind of give a summary real quick.
Okay.
And then I think one of the members of the committee has a motion to make. So this is our second year. Last year was the first, obviously. We've got our annual rainwater grant program started, of course. Our County Livestock Improvement Association came to us, asked us for a grant. We helped them build a rainwater project down at their Sheriff's Posse. The following year, we worked with Wise County, and we had a rainwater project put in there at the fairgrounds. And that kind of led us into developing this annual program. So last year we were able to fund 2 projects, really good ones, one at the Parker County Precinct 3, and then one at the Volunteer Fire Department, here south of here, Central, which is, you know, kind of between here and Peaster Poolville area. And this year we received, what was the total? We received 11 applications. That's up from the 7 we received last year, I think. Today we interviewed the top 6, really good projects, all really good projects. I think all that information, all the applications for all of them was shared with the full board. But the committee of 4, directors Lusk, Nave, Micah, and Wilson, myself, Jill, and Kyle sat in on the interviews today. And after those, I think that committee came up with a recommendation to make to the full board. And if there's not any questions, I think, Bob, did you have a?
Do. I move that we grant the following projects of the City of Paradise, Parker County Precinct 3, the City of New Fairview, Parker County Sheriff's Posse, the Slidell ISD, to authorize the general manager to execute financial agreements or contracts not to exceed a total of $265,000.
For all the projects.
For all the projects.
I second that motion.
Okay. And for the public's information, we're doing these grants in an effort to stretch our groundwater supplies. Each of the grants, these that are being approved, not necessarily all the grant applications, but by and large, they are asking to use rainwater, captured rainwater instead of using groundwater. And I will state, and you can correct me on this one because you're in the professional field. groundwater is not an infinite resource, not in our district. It is a finite resource. And in some places in our district, it's a very limited resource. And in others, it's already a noticeably depleted resource. So everything we can do to stretch it is the benefit of our future generations. Off my soapbox.
But now that you're off, I can get on.
Now you can get on. So I'm sharing your advice. You have to wait.
So with all of these are providing water through rainwater harvesting rather than groundwater. So if these projects hadn't gone through, they would have been using groundwater for these. Most of them, the entity who's asking for the grant is actually putting in their own money in addition to ours. And all of them are going to be educational opportunities for us to talk about rainwater harvesting to the community. All of them are very, very in front of the public on a regular basis. So I'm very glad that these five came in. Several of them actually came in and found ways that, you know, if we were going to be able to grant money, they were going to be able to put more money up or find a slightly less costly way to do the project they wanted. So it was a real partnership between us and the five that were selected and that we're recommending to the board.
One question. We need to do a budget transfer somewhere at this.
I talked about that with them, and yes, it'll be later this year.
Okay.
I had an item on there right now, but we're going to do it later this year. So we can just skip that item later. Well, we'll talk about it when we get there.
And for the public's information, I think I totaled up grant requests was in excess of $500,000 this year, wasn't it? Total. I mean, but these are worthwhile projects, and certainly for nonprofits and governmental agencies, we'll listen.
And every one of these is, they're different. They're unique. I mean, Slidell ISD, they're putting in a, you know, they've already got some raised beds. It's a community garden type situation. Parker County Precinct 3, they've already got some. Their goal is to basically turn the Precinct 3 facility into just a rainwater harvesting kind of mecca. I mean, if you get everything you want, you're going to have like 180,000 gallons of storage. And so they're very different, very unique, but they're all really, really good projects. And I think they're already in talking with Commissioner Walden. I think they're having an impact. I think you're seeing people become aware that this is a real source of water, and you're seeing people start to think about this, if not actually putting it in place at their homes or their offices or their places of work. So
the things that struck me is just how conservation oriented all the applicants are.
Right.
You know, like Commissioner Walden's going to stop using two water wells.
Right.
You know, because he's going to be able to replace that water. So he won't be pumping groundwater out of those wells.
Right.
You know, and like the Slidell schools, elementary school where they're going to teach kids, you know, from K up how to grow their own food.
Right.
You know, it's time for that. And rainwater harvest program is an important part of that. So the conservation piece is what really struck me.
Right.
With all the applicants.
Right.
And there are parts of our 4-county district, it may be surprising to you, that a well driller is happy to get 3 gallons a minute, which is windmill water. So they literally have to find another source of water. It's not coming out of the ground in parts of our district. Any other questions from the board? Comments? Anybody else want a soapbox? Grant? If not, I have a motion for Director Lust and second Director Micah. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. And for those of you from Parker County, he was the first one to come ask us about partnership on this. And has been beating the drum on it. So. Very well. I'm going to go back to our public hearing and show it's 512. Receive public comments, requests, contests, and the general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and or requests for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum track size requirements. Item 1A, applicant owner, City of Boyd. System ID 012-W. Doug?
Yes, sir. Always go through this. Just standard from our district rules. go into this. I'm just going to go through a summary of what the city of Boyd has proposed. There are currently three items before the board for consideration submitted by the city of Boyd, an application for an operating permit, which would increase their annual allocation. They currently hold a historic use permit for their two existing wells. An exception to district water well spacing for proposed well 20915, an exception to district water well spacing for well ID 20916. As I mentioned, there are two existing wells in their system currently, and they're seeking to expand their system, and I'll get into this a little bit more, but basically based on growth to the city. See their first proposed water well. So I'm going to talk a little bit about each of the two wells. Well 20915, this is located on the north end of the city. Turn on my laser pointer here. All right. So if you can see this map, this greenish blue line is the city limit line. Of course, you can see right here, it's 730. So this little blue dot right here is the proposed well location. The city operates one of their, they've already got a water tank, storage tank there. They're proposing to drill to 400 feet. They're asking for over 100 gallons per minute. Required spacing for a well that size is 3,250 feet from the nearest well, registered well. There are seven registered wells within that 3,250 feet and a required 1,000 feet off the property line. As you can see, it fails to meet the required spacing from the property line as well. There are actually 10 properties in that 1,000 feet. Just so you could see a little bit location, if they scaled down the production from the well, I've got spacing requirements for if it was 30 to 50 gallons a minute, 50 to 80 or 80 to 100. The smallest one, it still fails to meet property line spacing, but there are zero registered wells. I just put this up there for the board's information so you could get an idea of the spacing requirements for a smaller production capacity. Second well 20916. Again, they're looking for 125 gallons a minute. Spacing 3,250 feet the nearest well, 1,000 feet the property line. There are two registered wells, one up here and one right here within the required spacing. And there are six properties within the required spacing. Again, I did the same just so you could see, even at 30 to 50, no registered wells, but there are still three properties that would be impacted. So talking about their allocation, you know, our district rules describe a method for allocating groundwater under an operating permit as taking the acreage owned or controlled by an entity. So for a city, we look at their city limits, which is 33,350.9 acres, multiplied by a factor of 500, multiplied by the average thickness of the aquifer across that property or the depth of well, whichever is less. So in this case, average aquifer thickness is 312 feet. They're going down to the base of the aquifer. So they get that 312. So you look at that and we deduct off up to 2 acres for each registered well within the service area. I believe there are 8 of them. So there were 16 acres deducted from the city limits. You deduct off any other permits within that boundary. So the city currently has a historic use permit of 57 million gallons. So you take that off. They could actually be allocated about 462 million gallons per year. They've requested 107 million. That request, after Kyle visited with the city, that request is actually, and Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, or I believe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that is really the demand for their entire system. And so and looking at that, obviously, you know, you need to take off the historic use permit portion of that, to figure out what they're really looking for in addition to the historic use permit. We did some impact analysis, and this is really small, so you probably can't see it. But as the board knows, anytime somebody's seeking an exception to district rules, we do a little bit of modeling. We basically run the scenario. What if these wells were in place? What kind of impact can we expect to the area? We use all registered wells. We include those in the simulation, And then we simulate monitor wells or observation wells within the scenario where we basically place, you know, fake simulated wells in the model at basically the full 3,250 feet from the proposed well, northeast, south, and west, and then halfway. So, you know, 1,625 feet, northeast, south, and west. And we run the simulation. What the simulations show in a nutshell is at the proposed 125 gallons a minute, which is this column, you're looking at up to 24, 25 feet of water level decline at the pumping well site and up to about 9 feet of water. That's the biggest I see. 9 feet of water level decline, at about 1600 feet, from that pumping well. Again, this is based on the best available science. You guys all know it's modeling. It's our best attempt to project what would happen. And, you know, I think it's worth noting that represents what would possibly be a static water level decline. There will be seasonal changes, right? And you might see a greater impact during summer months when wells are pumping harder. So, it's at this time, you know, we have received multiple requests for a contested case hearing. Tracy, would you like me to note those into the record?
Note the names of those for the record.
We have received requests for a contested case hearing from Daniel Lambert, Derek Lambert, James Pegee, Adrian and Sarah Diaz, life at the Norma Jane Martin Life Estate, Joy Patterson. Here's one from Joy Patterson and Glenda Raspberry, Kenny Raspberry, and Jeff Walker. We have also received letters of opposition from Michael Carey Young, Dustin and Lauren Walker. Most of these are related to the Northern Well site, but the last one, Mr. and Ms. Walker, their concern, their location is near the Southern Well site. And so because of the fact that we've received these requests for contested case hearing, Tracy, I'm going to ask, if it's all right with you, I'm going to ask Brian kind of outline what that means and what the next steps should probably be and kind of outline the process.
Certainly. Brian, you online?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, and for the public's information, Brian Sledge is our attorney for the district, is a specialist in groundwater or in water law. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, as the rules require, we have to receive by today written requests for contested case hearings. The rules call for us to schedule a preliminary hearing to evaluate those contested case hearing requests. And so I think it would be my recommendation that we schedule that preliminary hearing to evaluate the sufficiency of the request to be held in conjunction with our May 16th board meeting at 5:00 p.m. in the district boardroom. Do we have people present today?
Yes.
For the Sidney Boyd and for any of these protestants?
We both do, and I was going to offer them the opportunity if they wanted to make some brief comments. Or I don't know whether they want to save all their ammunition for later or use some of it tonight or whatever. I was going to ask you to go ahead and outline the process and what's necessary for the preliminary hearing from both parties, and then if we get to a contested case hearing, what happens at that point?
Yeah, and I think this is real important because it's important for everybody, both the applicant and the protestants, to distinguish requesting a formal contested case hearing, which is an administrative trial on the permit application and the exception application that's part and parcel with it, versus just speaking against the application to the board. When we evaluate the contested case hearing request at the preliminary hearing, we'll take sworn testimony on that. People that want to want to testify before the board have to be sworn, and the board will consider the request and determine whether they comply with the rules as a valid contested case hearing request. If those are approved, it sends us down a path of an administrative hearing trial. People will need to retain legal counsel. We'll either hire an independent hearings examiner, or more likely we'll hire the State Office of Administrative Hearings to appoint an administrative law judge to conduct those hearings. And that's a lengthy process. It can take up to a couple of years. There's discovery, pre-filed testimony, depositions, legal briefs, actual hearing before the hearings examiner. And then the hearings examiner will create a proposal for decision back to the board of directors that includes proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law. And then it goes back to the board for a final decision on the application. And so that's the contested case hearing process. It can be expensive for all sides. And it's certainly something to which folks who can meet the requirements of the contested case request are entitled to under our rules. But we just don't want them to enter into that request lightly, because it's a pretty long and drawn out, and expensive, process for both sides. In addition to paying for your legal counsel, you'll also have to pay for the costs of the administrative law judge and, of course, all the costs associated with discovery and all that. So there's another option too. Anybody can come in and just speak before the board and speak against the application and set forth their grounds for speaking against the application, without requesting a former contested case hearing, and just plead their case for the board on why, the permit and the exception application should or should not be granted. And that's another option. And so, I had heard from Doug, I guess, who spoke with, at least a couple of these protestants. I don't know who. One thing I heard was, well, they're not against the application, the permit application. They're just against this spacing exception request. And I don't know which of the folks that have submitted contested case hearings fall into that category, or they're just all against it altogether. But what I would encourage between now and the preliminary hearing is that the protestants and the city of Boyd try to see if there's any middle ground that they can come to on the application that might resolve their issues in a much less expensive way before we go off on a contested case hearing path that could take, you know, a couple of years, just based on others I've been involved with the State Office of Administrative Hearings. So that's kind of the layout of the land. At the preliminary hearing next month, we will review the applications. We will hear from the parties in support of their applications for a contested case hearings. Unless any folks want to withdraw, they can certainly do that as well. And then the board can either decide to grant party status and grant a contested case hearing based upon the evidence that it's presented, or the board could choose to defer that decision to the administrative law judge to both decide whether to admit parties or and to conduct the contested case if parties are admitted. So there's a few forks in the road we can go down going forward, but that's generally the process, Tracy.
Okay, thank you. I'm not going to deny anybody an opportunity to speak, but after what you've heard, you may wish to wait until next month. We will be meeting next month on this. We have contested case hearings on file with us. We've got to set a preliminary hearing. So
And Tracy, I just, if to the extent that we can answer any kind of procedural questions or something, just want to make this clear that we're not going to swear folks in and start building our administrative record for this case until the preliminary hearing that's scheduled for next month or whenever you decide to schedule it. But I think you can hear from people, and procedural. I just caution you that you can't base your decision on unsworn testimony today. You'll have to wait and right. Based on sworn administrative record.
So I have from individuals who signed up to speak, Mike Anderson, Derek Lambert, James Pagias, Piggy, okay, Chuck Lambert, Linda Lambert, Danny Lambert, William Taylor, and Jeff Walker. Do any of you wish to speak tonight, or you want to wait till the next month?
It's not going to be entered into the record,
right? This is it really, and it's not going to be entered into the record, and
as far as our record, anything said tonight, it would basically be just noted in our minutes.
If that, you spoke.
So and so spoke in favor of or against this application at this time. That would be noted in our minutes. And then going into actual, the formal record would be next month.
And let me just bring up a point that you see there's eight of us. You see six of us sitting here. So there's two missing. Okay. Obviously there's eight of us. There's two missing. So you're talking, if you choose to talk tonight, you obviously can, but you're talking to six. Those six here tonight may not be here next month. So, you know, it's oftentimes hard to make an argument twice and it still be received by those who have heard it the first time. So, you know, it's your choice, but just bear in mind your audience will probably change the next time.
Sure. You'd step up to the podium and identify yourself so Ann's got it for the record.
Yeah, please stand.
I'm Danny Lambert. The reason I'm here is because I would like to, I don't know if we were going to go through with the contest of this permit, but the spacing of this permit, I live closest, well, not actually closest, but I live, my well is actually 964 feet from where the city is wanting to drill this well. So if they drill a well that consists of 60 million gallons, it's 125 GPMs. My well, I do not know how much water table I have in my well. It will, good possibility, drain in my well. My problem is, if it drains my well for the city, which they're not in their spacing allowance, they're asking for a variance on that, my well drops, I run out of water, who is liable to drill me a new well or repair my well if this is granted from you, if y'all grant this spacing? That will affect my well with everybody else here. Now, if you go in the 3,250 feet, that's going to affect a lot more. You take 60 million gallons of water in one small area, you're going to affect 3,250 feet out. Eventually it's going to drop it. I can't tell you what my water level is right now. I do not know. Y'all probably have a better way of doing that. But that's a concern that I have. I live, my well is, like I said, 964 feet from where they want to drill it. I would like to see a denial of this spacing rules. There is other options. I do believe that we might could be able to get with the city with and drill this well somewhere else. It's still not going to be within the 3,250 feet away from everybody, but it's going to be a lot greater distance. So I think, like your lawyer said, I think we do need to contact City of Boyd, maybe discuss some options with them, My concern is, once again, my will goes out. Who's going to pay for that? My will. I told some people here that I thought it was drilled in 82. It's actually drilled in maybe 86. My wife has all the receipts. She can tell you when it is. So it's been in progress then. But I've only had to change the pump one time. My mother's house, which I inherited, I have willed it to my son. He's moved in it. That well has been there a lot longer than that. And so I didn't really come prepared to speak. I'm not good at speaking in front of people. I can speak to you one-on-one all day long, but that's one of my concerns.
Thank you.
Tracy?
Yes, sir.
I didn't catch that gentleman's name, but the point he raised is a good one. That's the kind of discussions, having been involved in a lot of these deals across the state, that's the kind of discussions that can be beneficial for both the permit applicant and the folks that are opposed to the permit to talk about. When you look at a issue like this, it's typically the typical main concern. It's not the total volume of water to be pumped. It's the size of the well and the size of the cone of depression of that well that Doug presented some information on a while ago on how many feet of drawdown you can say and how it impacts neighboring wells and their well yields. And so I have seen some instances and in situations like this in other districts where they were able to work out a deal where they got a commitment from the permit applicant that if their wells were impacted, that the permit applicant would pay to deepen their pumps or deepen their wells as necessary to get them back in good water. And, or reducing the size of the well capacity, instantaneous gallon per minute pumping to help mitigate the size of that cone of depression. Those are the types of discussions that could be beneficial if both sides are willing to work with each other a little bit to avoid a lengthy and expensive trial.
Thank you.
That's
and for the public, a cone of depression is, you saw those green circles, that the cone of depression, as you pump a well hard, it starts making the water table start to bend in towards the well itself, and it's called the cone of depression. And we watch that, and that some of the data that Doug presented a while ago relates to that. So, Shannon.
Can we ask Doug questions at this point? Or?
Yeah.
What's up?
Which aquifer is this going into?
So keep in mind, once we get north of here, the Trinity group kind of transitions. Basically, the Glen Rose thins out to extinction. It's not really a limestone anymore. So it's just from the top of the Paluxy formation to the bottom of the Hostin. It's just all interbedded, sands and shales. So we just refer to it as the antlers. They're going into the deepest portion of the antlers.
Still hydraulically connected to the,
it very likely is hydraulically connected to the shallow part, but then there are going to be areas in this, Jared's not here because I'm going to use one of his favorite words. It's not homogeneous, right? It's not like, heterogeneity.
May not be an aquitard between.
Right. You'll have some places in the antlers where you've got an aquitard, so you've got two separate buckets of water, but it's not a regional aquitard. As the Glen Rose, like down in, you know, like southern Parker County, the Glen Rose acts as a regional aquitard, separating the Paluxy from the Twin Elms.
And so there's not a separate Trinity.
Right.
In this area.
The city of has 3,200 acres. Why this spot?
I didn't choose this spot.
Let them present that next month.
Well, I mean, do you know why this spot?
You know, I think Kyle's had some discussion with the city. I know the southern spot, that is the lot in the new subdivision that was deeded to the city by the developer. My guess is the northern, you know, they've got infrastructure at that site. already. You know, they've probably already got power there. They've got a water tank there. They've got pipes there. I'm guessing that had, that weighed heavily in their decision. And I would say that, that, you know, if y'all want to meet, the two parties want to meet, the city and those against it, I mean, I'm happy to host that, to help, you know, not necessarily mediate, but to be here with you guys and answer questions. I'm happy to host that meeting here, or multiple meetings, however much it takes. Happy to help and be a part of that.
Anybody else wish to speak this evening? Yes, sir.
My name is Jeff Walker. I live 503 Cemetery Road. I live right by the new house development that they're building right behind me.
Northwell or South?
This is the Southwell.
South. I don't know if you know this. I ran out of water once already for consumption of whoever was drilling when they were doing all the fracking, I guess, whatever. I ran out of water. My well was 290 feet deep. At 260, I ran out of water. So they had to call them in, come and lower my well another 32 feet. It hit bottom. So they brought it up a foot. So my concern is, where's the water? Why are they conserving water in storage tanks? What's the water going to be used for, I guess, is my question. And from what I understand, they're going to be putting the storage tanks right beside my property. So I'm just kind of wondering why they pumped the water out of the ground to put in storage tanks. Who's using it and who's benefiting from that? Because if my well goes down 32 feet, I'm done. My well's empty.
And just, I mean, the purpose, I mean, obviously the purpose of the wells is to provide water to the city and the growth in the city. And, you know, there's, as you see there on Cemetery Road, they're building houses right across from you. And there's a lot more houses apparently coming.
From my understanding, are they not on Walnut Creek water?
No, sir. That gets water from the city of Boyd. Oh, and the city of Boyd operates two current wells. I believe y'all do get some water from Walnut Creek, but I don't know that Walnut Creek is willing to provide y'all additional water. I'm not going to speak to that. I'm willing to provide more water, unable to. I'm guessing their infrastructure is the limiting problem with Tarrant Regional. They don't have enough into their permit to provide additional water. Gotcha.
Doug.
Yes, sir.
Are they in the city of Boyd ceasing in or inside, Walnut Creeks?
Which one?
Mr. Walker.
Mr. Walker's on a private well.
But is he inside the city or the city?
That would be
in county.
I believe it's in the county. I believe that might be Walnut Creek CCN though.
I only ask that because I've also seen some negotiations on things like this where a public water supplier like the city agreed to provide public water to houses if their pumping caused an impact to their wells. They would extend their public water supply lines out to the house and provide water. That's just something that could be part of the discussions to the extent that the protestants are able to receive water from the city of Boyd, if the city of Boyd were willing.
Yep. And as I said, if y'all just want to work with me, I'm happy to schedule and get a meeting scheduled and we can all come in. I'll put us a big table. We can sit here and have a kumbaya. And if it takes a couple meetings, I think that's my personal opinion. I'm not speaking for the district, but I think that's a better option than going down the contested case path.
Only worth the effort to try to do that first.
All right.
Thank you. Anybody else tonight? If not, Chair, to entertain a motion to table this to hold a preliminary hearing next month.
So move.
Motion, second. Motion by Director Nave, second Director Berkeley. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank all of
so
you.
So just to be clear, Tracy, we're going to preliminary hearing will be at 5 o'clock on May the 16th.
The 16th,
then the boardroom.
Correct.
Thank you.
May 16.
That's people take testimony to determine whether there's sufficient evidence to have a contested hearing at that point.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And that gives you a month to sit down and visit with the city of Boyd and see if there's some ways to work some of the issues out, the concerns, and address the concerns.
Yes, and sir. I'll say this, Mr. President, if the parties are, at the negotiating table and feel like they're making progress and they just need more time.
Yes.
But to continue those discussions before the, May board meeting, if we got a letter signed by all the protestants in the city asking to punt it another month or something so they can finish their discussions before we have a preliminary hearing.
Okay.
We could certainly entertain that, but it would need to be signed by all parties. We couldn't entertain it if it weren't signed by all protestants and the applicant.
Okay. Quick question, Brian. Is there any other notice requirements on that other than 72 hours?
Well, there's special notice requirements, obviously, that apply to the permit application and the exception for the exception application. Those have been complied with, and we have stated on the record today that the hearing will be continued for a preliminary hearing until a date and time certain of 5 p.m. on May the 16th in the boardroom. And so we satisfied that. So for next month's meeting, we would still just have to do Open Meetings Act 72-hour notice, okay, as you note.
Right.
But we could, if we receive a letter prior to that, we can certainly continue it again, at when we get to that hearing, if negotiations are still ongoing and if all parties agree to that.
All right. Thank you. We obviously have to post our notices for our agenda and stuff. We would have to have any letter like that at least 72 hours before our meeting.
That would be
for the May 16th meeting.
Well, we're still going to post it so that you can come on the record and say that you've received this letter requesting it and that you're going to grant them another month or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll still post it either way.
We're still going to have it on the agenda.
Yes, but, sir.
You know, because we'll have to announce then at that point it's been pushed down the road.
A question I have, a lot of us do not have our wells registered because it was so far.
Yeah.
So should we go online and register them?
Yes. Oh, you're opening a door for me.
Yes.
It doesn't cost you anything to register a well that was drilled before January 1 of 2009, which is when our rules first took effect. And two, you notice, if you may have caught what Doug said, number of registered wells within the area. We know there's more wells out there. But that's right.
We don't know where they are.
We don't know where they are. I mean, we could look at a satellite photo and say, we think the well house is here, but guess what? Somebody's going to surprise us and it's inside the house. And that does affect distance from another well and stuff.
If you are interested if you're interested in registering your existing well, we've got existing well registrations here. Feel free to grab one, fill it out. If you want, I've got staff here that can help you fill it out. You can go back there with Blaine or somebody else and you can even show them where it is on a satellite so we can get the exact coordinates if y'all want to register that. I'd also encourage you to, I believe Mr. Pegue already asked, talk to Blaine about our well monitoring program. That's where we come out and we just measure water levels in your well every 3 months. So you have an idea of what's happening over time anyway. I mean, regardless of anything that happens here. No, it's free.
No.
You wouldn't even know we're there. We just come out. Your dog will. We might ask that you, we might give you a call and be like, dog up. But yeah, if you're interested in that, I would encourage you. Blaine's the gentleman in the green hat right there, to get with him.
And he can go online and probably get the GPS location, which is on there. You may or may not know information on your well. You know how deep your well is. You know where the bottom of it is. You know where the well's set. So how far up from the bottom? A lot of people don't.
Right.
In this process.
Yes, sir.
There were 40 or 50 unregistered wells in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And they were registered, or even if they weren't registered, does that have any significant bearing on your decision?
I mean, I'm not going to speak for the board. I mean, an exception's an exception, whether it's one or a hundred. You know, I don't know that I'm going to speak for them, and I don't know that, you know, they can come out and say, yeah, it's going to impact our decision, but I strongly encourage everyone to register their well. It definitely gives you, you know, more firm ground to stand on, you know, saying, hey, I registered my well because I am concerned about these things. So.
And it gives us better data to know what the geology is underneath your homes.
Right.
To try to manage that water level so you have water.
There's no negative ramifications for registering your well. I mean, you know, I get it, but we're not going to come. No. We are not now, nor will we ever, unless I will walk out the door, going to put meters on private wells. that's craziness, and also it wouldn't be very safe for me or my staff.
Well, there was actually one groundwater district that did that. Well, opened the first thing out of the box, they said they were going to do that, and
it didn't happen.
Brian said that was the. Well, he was hopefully there. He was not happy. So,
all right.
But anyway, in that case, we will see you next month, and hopefully parties can get together and work some things out.
But you can register online.
Yes, ma'am. You can register online.
Uh-huh. No, they've got to send it in, Tracy. You have to send it in. Right. Yeah.
You can go online, get the form, and then fill it out and send it in.
Right. Yeah. And there are some forms right out there. I mean, it wouldn't take you 5 minutes to.
Blaine, if you'll show them where the forms are out there, please, sir. And thank you all for coming this evening. Yes, sir.
What time?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
You're talking to the one that drives the furthest to get to the meetings. I live the furthest away from this office. And you saw what I was eating earlier. That's my payment. So. No,
he's got to go to Nakona.
No, I'm coming from the north. Thank you all for coming. All right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Easy.
Item 1B, the applicant is the Upper Denton Interest LLC out of Weatherford, operating permanent exception to spacing requirements, system ID 205-P. Doug?
Yes, sir. I think this one will be less controversial.
Let me get the door.
Yeah. Okay. So the applicant here is Upper Denton Interest. They're out of Weatherford, Texas. They're looking for an operating permit and an exception to the district's water well spacing requirements. This exception is much easier to stomach, and I'll get into that in a second. And they're basically putting in an RV park, correct?
Yes.
They're on Upper Denton Road, north of Weatherford. Yeah, 117 space RV park. They're proposing, 4 new wells.
Yes.
Three deep Trinity wells and one shallow Paluxy well. The only reason they're doing the shallow Paluxy well, I think, is just, it's just to get them to their point six. They needed one last small well so that, The Paluxy well is a 17 gallon a minute well. The other three are 30 gallon a minute wells. So as you can see, this first well, let me turn my laser pointer back on. First well meets property line spacing, meets well to well spacing. Second well meets property line spacing, meets well to well. Well, I take meets well to well spacing. This is the one exception. Their one exception is they're requesting to drill a well too close to one of their other proposed wells. The reason they're doing this is for their groundwater study, because the groundwater study requires a distance of about approximately no more than 300 feet between wells. So in order to do the groundwater study for this, they technically really need to drill that well closer. But their only exception is from between two of their own wells. This is the small Biloxi well meets property line spacing, meets well-to-well spacing. And this is the last, the other well. It meets property line spacing. Here's the other proposed well, and it meets vertical offset to the two wells south of there. These are both Biloxi wells. This is a Trinity or Twin Mountains well.
What's the east-west for road there?
This is, isn't that Upper Denton?
That's Upper Denton, and then the other one is,
Oh, what notice is that? I apologize, Shannon. I do not know which notice that, which road that is. I'm trying to see if you can see it.
That's right here. It is, Trailwood Drive.
Trailwood. So, regarding their allocation, they own 21.98 acres. The average aquifer thickness is 434 feet. Their proposed deepest well is 520 feet. That gives them a total allowable allocation of 5,714,800 gallons. And they're requesting 4,416,500 gallons. And that's based on 170 RV spaces times 60 gallons per day, six washing machines there on the property at 100 gallons per day, a clubhouse that uses approximately 200 gallons per day. Yes. So we did impact analysis. It's basically no impact. Again, based on the best available science, shows only a 2 to 3 foot drop in the pumping wells. And very little impact to the surrounding areas. That being said, my recommendation is a motion to approve the permit for 205P in the amount of 4,416,500 gallons. And should you choose to approve the exception, which in this one, because the only exception is to their own well, I would recommend you approve it, but with the following stipulations: that they enter into an agreement with the district for the ongoing measurement of water levels for all the wells in the permit, complete a geophysical log of each of the wells and provide those to the district, and provide all pump tests to the data to the district. Most of this stuff we're going to be getting anyway because of the groundwater study. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Board have any questions of Doug or the staff?
I'll make a motion to accept his
recommendation. Got a motion for Director Berkeley to accept his recommendation.
Second.
My Director Nave already beat you. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And show we're closing the public hearing at 5:55, or adjourning the public hearing, rather. Consent agenda, which is normally customary non-controversial items on the agenda. Any board member can, if has any questions, can pull an item to be taken up separately. This month includes the minutes of the regular board meeting and public hearing on March 21st, approval of bank statement ending March 31st, and current financial reports, payment of bills and invoices received through today, reimbursements for expenses incurred on behalf of the district through today, and approval of requests for an extension application submitted through today. We have any other additional bills to add this month?
Okay. No, but I've got, in addition to the extension, the request for extensions.
Yes.
I've got additional ones to add. Extensions have been submitted since I posted that, or since I sent this out to you guys, for well IDs 20076, 18653, 20203, 20167, and 20166. And I would recommend adding those to the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second? Second by Director Lusk. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Okay.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two is moot. This is not quarterly investment report time, is it?
It is.
It is.
Item three.
Item three, board consideration and possible approval of quarterly investment reports with recommendations. Doug?
I have no recommendations. We've got several CDs coming up this year. What I will do is I will see what they offer as far as rates. Our ICS account is at, what was it the other day? 5.52. Off our ICS account, we've been open about 14 months, I think we've made like 40-50 grand off of it. It's doing well. If the CD rates are below that, I'll move some, move those, maturing CDs into the ICS. If the, if they offer us rates that, that good, then I'll just re-up the CD. But right now rates are still good. So we're doing pretty good.
Okay. Board's heard the general manager's recommendation on the quarterly investment report. Chair would entertain a motion.
Make a motion. We accept.
Motion by Director Berkley. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Nave. He's still faster than you, Don. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Done three, done four. Item five, line item expenditure, review of line item expenditures and adopt budget amendments. Okay. You said you wanted to table this till later.
Yeah. Well, we need to do part of it.
Okay. Go ahead.
So the, just the first part, just the office equipment, moving money to office furniture.
Oh, okay.
I had some more cubicles put in over where the interns sit. So I'm recommending, moving $1,500 from office equipment to office furniture.
I make a motion to approve that.
Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second? Second by Director Wilson. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item six, discussion and possible action regarding multiple potential violations related to system ID 197-W owned by Storemaster Funding 16 LLC, included but not limited to reconsideration of the water well spacing exemption granted for well ID 19284, pumping in excess of the authorized amount during 2023, failure to register a well that is required to be registered and operating a well without a permit, and take necessary action. Doug?
All right. So I'm going to go through this. Please stop me if you have any questions. Last March, the board approved an application for permit ID 197W. And part of that, you approved an exception for well ID 19284. 19284 is a fairly large well. They pumps about 200 gallons a minute. This is a big, manufacturing type facility. They're on 380 right before you get to Denton County line. And the purpose of the well was for fire suppression, right? They had to have so many gallons per minute, have so much storage for fire suppression. So as part of the, approval of the exception, the board said they had to enter into an agreement with the monitoring well agreement with the district, complete water wells, the district may install water level monitoring equipment, geophysical log, but number four is the important one. The board said if the applicant overpumps the permitted volume of 300,000 gallons a year, which isn't very much, the board shall reconsider the application for exception to spacing requirements. Also, you said if they ever seek to amend the operating permit, the board may reconsider the application for exception. So, their permit was 300,000 gallons, and the well came online fall of last year, October-ish. In November and December, they pumped over 400,000. Well, it was actually like 500,000 gallons.
I think it's over-pumped.
Right.
So, yeah, 680 total.
So they overpumped their – in 2 months, they overpumped their permit, their annual volume. So – it says shall reconsider, so I placed it on the agenda. Additionally, districts, so we did talk to them. It appears the reason they overpumped their permit was the water quality. When they drilled the well and completed it, it was such that they had to pump the well for quite a while to get the water quality such that it was sufficient for their fire suppression system. Blaine went back out there the other day, and so they pumped all that in 2 months. Since January, they've only pumped a couple hundred gallons out of that well. So I feel pretty good that, I take their word for it that yes, I hope that was a one-off and it was the only time they do that. I think I have a map on here, and the reason is it's a big exception we gave them, right? They were, I think they would have had to be like a 17 gallon a minute well to meet spacing the property line. and we granted them an exception for what should have been 1,000 feet. But the board granted that because they said they were only going to pump 300,000 gallons a year at the most. So I take their word for it. I take this as a one-off. However, once when Blaine was out there, and Kyle, you're at to correct me if I'm wrong. There are 6 wells on the property now, including the new well they drilled. There were 5 previous wells. Of those, they included the new well and 2 other wells on the permit.
The new well.
And three.
3 other wells.
So there's 4 wells on the permit. So they could potentially pump out of 4 wells. And it's still non-operational. They had 2 other wells on the property that were non-operational, but they didn't include them on the permit. And because they weren't included on the permit, they can't produce for the facility. When Blaine was out there, they had equipped and were pumping water from one of those other wells. So by doing that, they're producing water from a well without registering the well, for a well that was required to be registered without registering the well. And they were producing water from that well without a permit. So technically they've got, you know, multiple violations here, at least 3 separate major violations. None of them are terribly egregious. It's not a huge volume they had pumped off that smaller well. But they did failure to register a well that's required to be registered, operating well without a permit, and then producing groundwater in excess of the authorized amount. So they've already been sent a letter related to the groundwater in excess of authorized amount. We haven't heard from them on that yet. So I'd like to formalize the offer I made to them in that settlement offer in this. It is worth noting our civil penalty schedule outlines a first major violation of reauthorized a civil penalty up to $1,000, second up to $5,000, third up to $10,000, and a civil suit for first violation of overpumping 3 times the groundwater use fee for the amount produced in excess of the permit, and a civil penalty of 5% of the total groundwater use fee for the entire permit, or $100, whichever is greater. So that being said, I'm not recommending that we withdraw or, I guess rescind the exception, revoke the exception at this time. You may consider, you know, are we going to come bring it back and consider it every time if they overpump it? And this is a question for Brian. If you could just authorize me to revoke or set it to where it automatically revokes their exception if they overpump the permit again, or if they pump more than 300,000 gallons out of that well in a single calendar year, which is what they said they would pump. But that's for your consideration. I'm not recommending that we revoke the exception at this time, though. My recommendation is, and I combined the 2 penalties into 1. So just a first major violation of district rules for failure to register a well and operating without a permit. $500 civil penalty associated with that. First violation for excessive pumping of groundwater. $251.20 fee associated with the excess volume of water they pumped. And $100 civil penalty associated with the first violation for excessive pumping of groundwater. And I'm happy to answer any questions. And I do have someone online with the app or with Stormaster.
Is that 2 majors there we're looking at?
Correct? No, it's 1. I've combined it into 1. So keep in mind,
excessive pumping is not a major.
It's kind of a separate kind of violation, okay. Right? Think of it as a separate class or type of violation. Yeah, I there is 1 person online if y'all have any questions for them. Her name is Shauna.
From Stormaster?
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, I think Stormaster might be the parent company. Iron Form is the name of the business that's actually on site there.
Okay.
But I think Stormaster is...
Stormaster owns our property.
Yeah. So they're a tenant.
Okay.
Now who's responsible for this?
Well, Stormaster, since they own the property, they're responsible ultimately.
And I'm sorry, she is a Stormaster or no?
I believe Shauna is
with Iron Form.
With Iron Form. So they're the tenant.
But not the ones responsible for it.
Correct.
At what point did we we recognize that they overused water during their first reporting?
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever they submitted reports, which they were late. They were also late in submitting their reports.
This total penalty is
$851. Right.
Is that enough to get anybody's attention in today's world?
That is a good consideration.
Does this just say,
do whatever you want?
Exactly. We circumvented the rules, and all we have to do is worry about one getting caught and two paying $850.
So
when did you notify them of your proposed settlement offer?
So the settlement offer for the overpumping, which is
that's set by our rules
for the most part. Yes. It's this section part right here.
Yeah. $851.
Yeah. That we outlined that in the rules, right? I mean, technically there are two majors. I mean, that $500 civil penalty for a first major violation could be a first major violation for failure to register a well that's required to be registered, $1,000 penalty there, a second major violation for operating without a permit, and a $5,000 penalty there. That's what we could go up to authorized by rule.
Yes, I did ask that.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we're looking at order of magnitude. Are we talking days, months, years?
Weeks.
A couple of weeks.
Yeah, once we got all the reports in, then we mailed out notices that was overpumping.
Two other questions. Who actually started pumping the well that wasn't registered? Was it Stormaster or was it Ironworks?
It was us. It was Iron Form. And that was, I don't know if miscommunication is the correct word, but my maintenance manager was not aware that that well was not registered.
And
that well was down when I filled out the initial. I'm the one that filled out all the paperwork and just sent it over to store to sign. That well was down and the casing it had been pulled. We didn't think we were going to be able to recover it, so I didn't include it in the permit.
And who are you going to be the one that's paying the penalties?
Yes.
Just so we all know.
You know. Or is she an attorney?
No,
I'm not an attorney. I'm the corporate EHS manager for Iron Form.
Yep. Board serves the general managers. Why weren't the other wells registered when you requested the wells?
I think she just stated that well was down and that they didn't think it was going to be able to recover it and use it.
Why did we not register it when you put a pump in it and got it back up and running, ma'am?
Again, I didn't know that they were even trying to recover it until after it had already been fixed and they had a pump in it. And I believe I was notified by Kyle, or I think it was Kyle that sent me an email. So
was it a pump installer that did that, or was it a well driller?
Or your maintenance crew?
It was maintenance, and I'm not sure if my maintenance manager did it or if he contracted a company to do it. I can definitely find that out. The company would have been there called Madewell. Yeah, it's a company called Madewell. I mean, I don't think they do a lot of commercial. I think they're mostly residential.
You familiar with them, Doug?
No, but there's a lot of pump installers. We don't deal with a lot of pump installers.
I know. Pump installers kind of outside our wheelhouse, but. Right. Yeah. What's the board's pleasure?
Knee-jerk reaction. I'm bothered by the smallness of the monetary penalty that's imposed upon them. And the fact that
one employee didn't communicate something to another employee, the fact is the company is ultimately responsible for complying with the rules.
So is this new well that's now operating metered?
It is.
Yeah, they put a meter on it.
Yeah, they left the old the meter that was on it to begin with. They put that one back on.
And our concern is a well that was not registered being pumped without us knowing about it, because the potential there is for an unknown quantity of water to be pulled. So that's kind of where our concern is coming on this.
At least one of them.
At least one of them. Correct me if I'm wrong, Doug, the excess heat pumping fee is just straight off our schedule, correct? So that's off the tape. That's pretty well set.
Correct. And in line with what we offered last year.
Okay. And then that's good to know.
The monetary impact is what we offered last year?
For the overpumping, in line with what we offered to everyone last year, that three times the water use fee for the amount overpumped, and then
the civil penalties,
right?
Similar,
right? Just tradition at this point.
So, can you get
consistency, right?
Can you get us to, if we have one or two major violations, plus we have the the pumping fee, can you get us to the sum of $3,000?
Yes, sir. I would say, so that's 200, 350. So we need first major, $1,000 with the first major, second major for failure, operating well that's supposed to be registered without registering it, $1,000 there. Second major for operating without a permit. Let's do what we say, do 1500 there.
1750.
Yep. And then the other two, that takes it to three. That takes it to three.
You know, in that ballpark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that in the form of a motion?
Yeah, that's a form of a motion.
If Ann can figure it out, can you figure it out?
I got it.
Or she can do it.
Second.
Okay.
Whatever it is. It's
I have a motion by Director Berkley and a second by Director Nave to make a finding of a first major violation for failure to register a well.
Second.
A second major violation for
operating
an unregistered well, correct? As well as the fees associated with the excessive groundwater pumping, with the total coming up to $3,000. And I'll let staff figure the pennies down on that.
We need to put a time limit.
Doug, of course, our standard is on that.
I think I usually give
it's a settlement offer.
I usually give them like 60 days.
We give them 60 days. So, is everybody clear as mud on this one? Yes,
so
ma'am.
The offer that was sent out, I'm sorry, I don't know if this was an offer or if this was just a notice of violation that was sent on March 29th.
So, Rashauna, this is Doug.
I'm not familiar with all of this. This is all new to me.
Yeah,
so
I'm about to explain. So that was sent out. Just ignore that, and we've rolled that into this.
Okay.
That previous settlement offer, ignore that. We've rolled that into this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Board, have any more questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 7, management report on administrative and operational issues. Doug?
I do not really have anything just jumping out at me. Been busy. We've only done a few the groundwater studies, but it seems like we're really busy with those. We have 11 more anticipated. Staff's doing a great job. I think Jill's head might explode. but they're doing a great job. So that's been busy with that. Of course, Zane's really slowly taking over all the education stuff. Jill hadn't told me he's doing bad, so I'm thinking it means that he's doing good.
Right.
Nobody
speaks slower than Jill does.
Well, he can't help it. He's from Robert Lee, Texas. Robert Lee. It's out by San Angelo.
I will, as I stands right now, it looks like Monte County will take up our interlocal agreement at their second meeting in May.
Okay.
I'll confirm that Monday.
And we've got, most of them have been in Parker County. I think there's a few, hopefully in Wise, there's a few in Wise County that we're expecting soon. And then some of the cities have interlocals with us as well.
Studies. But yeah, they're going to find out all that one time. So, general counsel report. Brian, do you have anything else?
He's asleep.
Oh, Brian going once.
Sorry. I don't. I still owe y'all rules amendments and they're coming. That's mostly what we worked on the last month.
Okay. The next meeting will be May 16th at 5 p.m. here in our district offices. Obviously, any more for the agenda, let Doug or myself know. And thank you very much. And Ann, I didn't find a folder set aside. So they're about to scatter on me.
So that's just playing.
Don't you even go there, Doug. You're not brave enough.
We get extra money for today.
Probably eaten twice already, knowing you.
No, they didn't furnish this lunch at all.
They did. Well, then you didn't negotiate.
No, I asked for it.
They gave us lunch.
I called them in this morning at 9 o'clock. They said,